Good afternoon. We're here with a special March Madness episode of the Sean Mo Hoops podcast with two frequent guests. We have Stephen Kalail and Dan Russo, who have both been on the podcast before, and looking forward to having a lively NCAA tournament discussion as the tournament kicks off starting this Thursday. So I'll throw it over to Dan Russo first. We had the selection show on Sunday and the teams were announced. Was there anything that stuck out to you initially, either good, bad, that happened on the selection show?
Well, the show itself, I think they need to go back to their old format, but it's good to be on. And then, you know, aside from that, I used to get kind of all fired up about the bubble and who made it and who didn't. I find myself caring less and less about the 67, 68 teams. And as I know, they don't really have a chance to make a real run, but I didn't think Syracuse deserve to be in. You know, they have kind of mastered the art of scheduling no good teams and no bad, poor, you know, below 300 RPI teams, and coming out with a good strength of schedule in the non-conference, but really not playing anybody. So I don't really think that should be rewarded, but it was. I haven't seen this talked about so any place else really. I think I saw maybe Jay Billis tweet once about it, but the conference tournaments really give the Power 6, Power 7, whatever you want to call it, additional chances for teams on the bubble to get some key wins like we saw Alabama do when they won a couple of games in the SEC tournament. It would be interesting to see what the selection committee would have done in terms of ranking at-large bids before that week. I wonder if Middle Tennessee State or St. Mary's would have been ranked ahead of some of the bubble teams that got ahead of them if they were forced to kind of rank the at-large teams before the conference tournaments.
Yeah, I think both of those points are pretty accurate. I guess Syracuse, I definitely agree with you in terms of them getting in. And as you said, most of the time, it doesn't really matter. They're going to lose in the first weekend anyway. And to make such a hubbub of who's getting in and who's not getting in is kind of a waste of time, except if you're VCU a few years ago or some of these other teams. But at the same time, it is with how the conferences have been realigned. You know, for me, my argument against Syracuse was, you know, here's this team. They went 8-10 in the ACC play, out of conference. They lost to Kansas, lost to St. Bonaventure. So they didn't really have any bad losses, but they also didn't really have any good wins. They beat Texas Southern at home. You know, Syracuse usually likes to play only home games. They escaped their one true road game at Georgetown in overtime in a game they could have lost. Or not. Georgetown didn't make the tournament. They beat Connecticut, who was awful, and then they beat Maryland, who didn't make the tournament. So you have a non-conference schedule that, you know, as you said, was good but not great, but they didn't really beat anybody. And then you go through the ACC, who I've been kind of saying has not really been a great conference. There's, I'd say, two legit teams that have a shot at winning the championship in Duke and UVA, who they didn't beat, and then North Carolina, who definitely could make the Final Four, who they didn't beat either. So two of their eight wins came against Pittsburgh, who was the worst team in the ACC history. And I just think I'd much rather see a team such as Middle Tennessee State that, you know, went 16-2 in their conference and, you know, just only had one bad game in the tournament. Or a school such as St. Mary's that played well in the tournament last year, has some great players, and it's fun to watch, rather than these kind of middling teams in the ACC or Big 12 or SEC. So, but yeah, you know, in terms of the Jay Billis point, I'm curious about Steve's thoughts on this, but I think that, you know, what we saw with Duke last year, they finished, I think, 11-7 in the ACC, and they're playing in the second day of the tournament, and they won the championship but rattled off four games in a row, and all of a sudden they're able to talk about wins over UNC, Louisville, Clemson, Notre Dame, and it really boosted their resume all the way up to where you had pretty much everybody in the media trying to get them as a one seed. So I think it definitely unfairly helps the teams in the larger conferences. But Steve, what do you kind of think about the conference play, or any snubs that happened?
I have some pretty similar thoughts to what you guys were just discussing, especially in regards to Syracuse, because I think that, and just in general with that everybody's in a Power Six conference has an unfair advantage of getting those extra chances to boost their quadrant one and quadrant two wins. For example, I'm obviously a Louisville fan, but they had so many extra chances. They got to play Virginia three times, who's the number one overall seed. And, you know, that's not a chance that St. Mary's gets or Middle Tennessee gets or any other school of that stature. However, you know, and I agree that I would have loved to have seen St. Mary's in this field, especially I think that the nation's missing out on seeing Jock Lawndale because the guy's a walking double-double. And I think that seeing him would have been much, much more interesting for any fan across the board, rather the casual fan or the hardcore fan, because seeing a guy who's on the West Coast that doesn't get much exposure or just that team in general, I think would have been beneficial. And I'm not a huge fan of the way that the tournament's ranking these wins with the quadrant one wins and quadrant two wins. And one of the trends that I think we noticed with the selection field is that as opposed to years past is that your December wins obviously count a whole lot, and they count just as much as your February wins or your March wins. So that explains why an Arizona State got in into the tournament over a team like a USC, where Arizona State was hot earlier in the season and then tailed off completely. So that brings me up to where I think was probably the number one snub was USC, a team that had its ups and downs, but finished the season strong and was, I believe, conference runner-up in the Pac-12 and put up a pretty good fight. So I would have liked to have seen them in. I think they had the most legitimate gripe of anybody, of someone who got snubbed. And I would say there's probably a consensus. I would imagine amongst the three of us that USC much more deserved it more than I would say Syracuse.
Yeah. Well, you know, having been out in LA and watched USC a ton this year and over the years, I definitely think talent wise, you know, they could easily be a Sweet 16 team. Obviously they lost Benny Boatwright and D'Anthony Melton, and you know, who knows whether the FBI stuff had anything to do with them not getting in. They did lose to UCLA both games, and they lost to Arizona on the road as well as in the championship game. So, you know, I think for them, what really hurt them was their non-conference schedule. They lost to Texas A&M, they lost to SMU, and they lost to Oklahoma all in a row, and then throwing a loss to Princeton. And really their only big win was Vanderbilt, who disappointed. They were supposed to be a lot better than they were. But you go into conference play, they went 12-6. They had some really good wins, good road wins. And, you know, they didn't get to play Arizona or Arizona State at home just due to the unbalanced schedule. But they finished second in the regular season. And then they finished second in the tournament, beating Oregon State, and then losing to Arizona in the championship. So there's only three teams from the Pac-12 that made it, and definitely don't have, you know, any issue with UCLA getting a playing game. Mm-hmm. And ASU, as you talked about, they had such a strong start to the year going, I think, 13-0. But, man, were they poor in the Pac-12 play. You know, they only went 8-10, and they couldn't even make it past Colorado on a neutral court to get into the quarterfinals. So they didn't even get to play Arizona, who was the one seed, because they couldn't even make it there, losing to Colorado. And I thought, you know, that game in itself, if there's going to be a difference between USC getting in and Arizona State, I think, you know, not even being able to make it to the quarterfinals in your own conference tournament should have said something. But they really valued the wins over the 2-1 seeds, Kansas and Xavier. And, you know, we'll see how their matchup goes, which is tonight. So it'll be over once the podcast is up. But yeah, I think, you know, I think USC should have been in, but they did have their chances, but fairly unfortunate because they are a talented team. So with the bracket, everybody is filling out their different upsets and sleepers. I wanted to kind of go through the different sections and just talk about some various thoughts, either potential upsets, players to watch, or sleepers in each of the different quadrants. And I want to start in the South because some big news came out regarding UVA, who was the number one seed and the most dominant and consistent team all year, only losing two games. on the season. ACC regular season champions, 17-1, and then ACC conference champions. And they lost their sixth man of the year, one of their stud redshirt freshmen, DeAndre Hunter, who has the most NBA potential out of anybody on that team. And it was announced that he has a wrist injury that'll keep him out for this season. So I was just curious, Dan, how do you think that will affect Virginia going forward? And does that dampen potentially their championship ability?
It certainly does. You know, when you get maybe that, not the first couple of rounds, I think they can will certainly get by UMBC and I think get by the winner of Creighton, Kansas State. But, you know, you start looking at a potential matchup in the Sweet 16 with either Arizona and Kentucky, two teams that are, uber athletic. And, well, one thing Virginia certainly is not is athletic. But the one guy they've had, especially in the ACC play, who was able to kind of create mismatches and get to the hoop on his own and create his own shot, and that was DeAndre Hunter. He was kind of the their X factor in terms of coming off the bench, providing that athleticism that was comparable to what, you know, Duke and Kentucky and the UNC's of the world running out there, and they've now lost that. I still think I'd give them the slight edge against. I think it's going to be Arizona, but then you start looking at it, maybe a Cincinnati matchup, another team that's kind of built like them, rugged and wants to slow you down, and maybe wants to play even a little dirtier than Virginia, and they lose DeAndre Hunter, who's big and athletic and able to create his own shot against those guys. So I definitely had them coming out of this region, and I'm kind of reconsidering, and I think they're going to get caught up in somewhere in that Sweet 16 Elite Eight.
Steve, you saw UVA play Louisville three times. Do you think they're going to be making out of this bracket without DeAndre Hunter?
I don't think so, and the reason why I say that is because, like Dan alluded to, they lost a lot of athleticism with him not being able to play. They struggled. I wouldn't say struggled against any team, frankly, but they do get bothered by teams that have a little bit of length and have a little bit of athleticism. And then taking away an athletic player like him from the mix is certainly going to be an issue for them. And I can see that if they were to potentially play, you know, with Kentucky or in Arizona, I think it could be pretty difficult for them to beat both of those teams. I mean, obviously they win because they're such a disciplined team, but having a team like Kentucky and Arizona that have a lot of athleticism and length, and if you get them on a day where they're actually focused, I think it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys said, DeAndre Hunter was definitely the most athletic and matchup nightmare on kind of both ends, because you could put him on the point guard and he could shut down the point guard, or you could put him on, you know, potentially an athletic power forward and he could guard that. So I think that'll definitely be missed. But, you know, when you go to UVA, if any team could kind of suffer a loss like this, I would say it is UVA, and this is no slight to them, but more of a praise of Tony Bennett. But he has turned the program into, you know, kind of a system team where you just plug a guy in and their defense isn't going to drop off, and they run their efficient offense to get shots for Guy and Jerome. So I definitely think out of any team they can handle it. And usually a lot of times by the time he's in the game, UVA has already set the tempo and set that it's going to be extremely hard to score on them. But yeah, when you get to potentially a Kentucky or Arizona, If those teams make it, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if either team was upset in the first round. But, you know, Kentucky has the length and athleticism. I don't think they would have the discipline to stay with UVA. And then Arizona has kind of the athleticism and talent. And I think they could definitely, I think that would be a great Sweet 16 game. But I'm not sure if they have that championship caliber still in them without Hunter in the long haul. But who, you know, if you guys had to pick one game in the first round, I'll start with Steve first. What's the most intriguing matchup or game that you would want to watch on TV?
I think one of the, well, there's two games I actually really like here. One I love is the Miami Loyola Chicago game. I like Loyola Chicago's team. They had a big win earlier this year over, I believe, Florida. And they have a high scoring team. I think they can cause Miami some troubles. I think Miami's a little overseeded at six. Having watched them quite a bit in the ACC, Miami's been a good team, but I think they're in reality more of an 8-9. So I think that's a game that's pretty exciting. I know it's kind of a semi-trendy pick, but I think Loyola can pull the upset and move on. And I think that they would probably be able to give the winner of Tennessee and Rice State a pretty good challenge as well.
You know, speaking of Loyola Chicago, I've kind of been following them from the beginning of the year and was able to take advantage of when they played Florida. And I think it was a 12 or 14 point spread, but now on a neutral court, they're only 2-point underdogs to Miami, and Miami was the third seed in the ACC. So it just goes back to, you know, how, if you had Middle Tennessee State or St. Mary's in here, you know, they're probably going to be favored over Syracuse or a lot of these higher seeds. But Loyola Chicago, they have a point guard, Clayton Custer, who transferred from Iowa State. And then they have their small forward, Dante Ingram, played at Simeon, so playing for one of the top high school teams. And a really good freshman and Cameron Krutwig from the Chicago area, as well as a few other shooters and talented players. So I think they can definitely give Miami a game, and I wish the spread was a little higher or a little juicier. But what game is the one you want to watch, Dan?
I want to see Davidson and Kentucky. You know, Kentucky kind of struggles guarding the three, not surprising for teams that are young, and Davidson likes to bomb away. I think Davidson has maybe one recruit that would have been asked to play Kentucky, Kellen Grady, right? I think he's the first top 100 recruit at Davidson in a while. Between him and, you know, Peyton Aldridge, they can definitely fill it up, and the team loves to just bomb three. So I want to see kind of their bombing away versus the athleticism of Kentucky.
Okay. I would say my most intriguing matchup, I'm going to go with that Miami, Florida, Loyola, Chicago. I'm also curious about Nevada and Texas. Texas 19-14. Another team I didn't really think that deserved to be in there, but you never know if Shocking can get them going. So I guess to kind of wrap up the South, who do you guys have in your Elite Eight, and who's making it out of the Atlanta bracket?
So I would say that the two teams I've got in there are Arizona and Cincinnati is who I took for the South.
Okay.
I like Arizona coming out of there. I think they're going to be playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder for the whole FBI thing, especially with maybe with the Sean Miller allegation. They're playing well right now too. I think DeAndre Ayton has been playing like a man child the last several games. I think he might have had a 20-point rebound game. So I like Arizona to come out of the South overall. I just think that they're too talented. They're playing well despite everything that's gone on, and I don't see UVA beating them now. And I think that if Cincinnati or Tennessee plays them, they could give them a challenge with the style of basketball for both of those teams. But I like Arizona in the South.
Okay. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, you know, I had Virginia over Cincinnati, and then today's news on DeAndre Hunter has made me kind of rethink that. I did think originally the two best teams in that bracket were Arizona and Virginia. So I think I'm going to flip and agree with Steve that I have Arizona coming out of that region over Cincinnati for a lot of the same reasons that Steve just talked about.
I'm sure if they do, you'll be kicking yourself for not having DeAndre Ayton on your player fantasy team. I'm going to stick with Virginia. Yeah, I think Arizona could definitely beat them if they get by Kentucky, just given all the talent they have. And, you know, going back to the preseason, they were number one or one of the top teams, and they've certainly been playing like that lately. But it will be interesting to see them. I think that would be a coaching mismatch of Tony Bennett versus Sean Miller in that one. And then I'm going to go Tennessee to play UVA, and I'm still going to have UVA going to the Final Four in that one. But I guess in terms of the team that will be playing potential UVA or Arizona or even Kentucky if they make it out, moving down to the West bracket, where Xavier is a number one. So two Big East teams, and the Final Four, or sorry, Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight will be taking place at Staples Center in Los Angeles. So once again, you know, what are your thoughts on the West and who do you guys like in this bracket?
I think you pulled some voodoo magic getting UNC sent out to Staples so you can see them without having to travel. But I think this bracket's fairly strong. I'm not really sold on Xavier as a one, but I think UNC and Michigan, if they get there, would be a good game. Even though I know UNC kind of gave them a beatdown earlier this year, and I'm high on Gonzaga. I think their front court is strong, and I think they can really contend with Xavier and give Xavier a tough time. So I like Gonzaga and UNC to meet in the Elite Eight. And I'm going to go with Gonzaga again in the Final Four, kind of getting some revenge on UNC for the title game.
Well, that could definitely happen. They are extremely talented, and I'd say go probably seven to nine deep. So, they could easily make another run and get back to the Final Four. But Steve, what were your kind of initial impressions or thoughts from the West bracket?
I have some similar thoughts as Dan. I wasn't totally sold that Xavier should have been a number one seed, but here we are. Not to take a page out of Dan Dakich's book, but I'm really liking Michigan.
Oh my goodness! You and everybody else.
I really like them. They're just playing so well at the end of the season, and it pains me to say that as a Louisville fan, but since Michigan knocked them out of the tournament last year, but. I don't know, man. I'm kind of jumping on the Mo Wagner train. Also, too, is, you know, Ohio State this year has been kind of a surprising team, but people aren't really giving enough credit to Coach Holtby, Chris Holtby's coaching job for them, and also with the play of Keita Bates' job. He's been pretty unreal this season, and I actually like Ohio State to knock off Gonzaga in the second round. I like them a lot. And, but I do, my Elite Eight pick there is, I see it being a Xavier and Michigan, Elite Eight with Michigan taking it.
Okay. I like that one. And I think you're probably one of the rare people that has Xavier getting to that point. So a few questions, and I'll stick with Steve. The 8-9 matchup is Missouri and Florida State. Missouri has Michael Porter, who played his first game back all year, played one game in the SEC tournament. Coming into the season, he was a projected top five pick and is still kind of in that 5-7 range. Do you think there's any, of them beating Florida State, but do you think the 8-9 game that there could be any upset of Xavier in the second round with either of those two teams?
I think that if anyone can do it, I think it's actually Missouri more than Florida State. Florida State hasn't really played exceptional basketball for a while, and they kind of got in by having a couple earlier big wins in conference play. So I actually think that with the whole Porter Jr. factor, I think they could do it. I really do. I mean, he's the biggest wild card player in this tournament, as a guy who literally played his first game and his last game of the season for Missouri, and now is actually going to play in the NCAA tournament. So I think there's certainly a chance there. I mean, if he can show that he's that kind of a player, between him and his brother, and they have some other talent on that team. So, but then again, I don't really trust Cunzo Martin leading a win against anybody. So I think they got a chance mainly because of talent and having that wild card factor.
Which Porter brother steps into the starting lineup since Missouri's second leading scorer is suspended for the game?
I'm gonna go with Michael on that one.
Yeah, I think Florida State takes it. I think that's Michael Porter was really rusty and wasn't shy about jacking up shots. So I don't know that an extra week of practice is going to shake all the rust off. And I think with Barnett suspended, I'm not sure that that Missouri is going to be able to take down Florida State.
Yeah, well, hopefully Florida State will show a little bit more interest than they did in the ACC tournament. But, you know, they're always a team with size and length, and, they could easily make a little run, I think. So if you had to pick one game, Dan, in the first round, what game most intrigues you out of this bracket?
You know, I think the closest game is going to be Texas A&M and Providence. You know, Providence is obviously coming in playing well, even though they lost in overtime against Villanova in the Big East tournament. And, you know, Texas A&M, they got up into, what, top five in non-conference play and looked really strong out of the gate. And they have a ton of talent. So interested to see if they can get by Providence. And I think they could pose a fairly formidable challenge to UNC in the second rounds.
I would agree on that point. I think in this bracket, UNC could lose they could lose in the second round, assuming they can get by Lipscomb. But I think the second round could easily be their toughest matchup. I'm not as high on Michigan as everybody else that has them going to the Final Four or even going to the championship game just based on their Big Ten run and somewhat of a weak conference. But I think Texas A&M, they've severely underachieved in the SEC play, which is pretty surprising given the amount of talent they have. But they could always get it together, you know, for a game or two, and they have a potential lottery pick at center that can block shots, and Robert Williams, and then Tyler Davis, who's a beast down low, shooting on the wings, and then some very veteran guards that are tough and athletic. So to me, if Texas A&M gets by Providence, that matchup would worry me from a UNC perspective. I really like Gonzaga in the tournament. Definitely more than Ohio State. I know they beat Ohio State by, I think, 27 points earlier. So I would expect it to be a lot closer than that. But I'm not really giving Ohio State much credit for their strong second half of the season, just given that it was in the Big Ten. They went 15-3, but couldn't even win a game in the conference tournament. So wouldn't be surprised if they lost to South Dakota State. But really the game I want to see is Houston, San Diego State. I love watching Rob Gray play. He can light it up. And then you have San Diego State, who's a very defensive oriented team. And I think the winner of that game, could potentially give Michigan a good run, in the second round, depending on how either Houston or San Diego State does. So looking forward to that game, but should be, you know, should be a fun bracket, and who knows, maybe Xavier will be coming out of it and proving us all wrong come 2 weeks from now. But kind of jumping over to the other side of the bracket, we have the East, where Villanova is the one seed, and Villanova was a one seed last year and a two seed the year before, so this is becoming kind of second nature for them. But also in that bracket, Purdue is a two seed and Texas Tech is a three seed. And then you have Wichita State, West Virginia as a 4 or 5. To me, you know, I kind of have Villanova going through this fairly easily. I could see West Virginia giving them a shot in the Sweet 16. But to me, I'm not a huge fan of the East. So curious to get your thoughts on this one, Steve.
Yeah, so I really think that Villanova is going to come out of this one. And I have them playing Purdue in my Elite Eight. I was on the Purdue train pretty early on for the season after seeing them have some pretty big early wins and perform well in the Big Ten. But they did slide a little bit for a while there, so I kind of cooled on them. I do love Carson Edwards. I actually have Carson Edwards as one of my All-Americans on my Def Penn All-American team. So I'm a little torn because I've been having this bias for Purdue, but I see Villanova kind of coming out of that bracket. The team to keep an eye on is Texas Tech, because they've, you know, been in pretty much in the top 15 all season. I love Keenan Evans. He kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, he's a 6'3" guard that just blew up and really took charge for that team. So he's a guy that I think is going to get a ton of pub this season, this tournament, and I can see him creating problems. And I could see Texas Tech going to the Sweet 16 and knocking off Purdue with him.
What are your thoughts on this bracket, Dan? I know Villanova, a Big East rival. Do you have them getting out of Boston to San Antonio?
I do. I think this is the weakest bracket or the easiest path for a number one seed. I don't think that either West Virginia or Wichita State can handle Villanova. And, you know, West Virginia, team that presses, kind of plays right into their hands in a Sweet 16 matchup. I think one of the most fun games in the bracket would be if Colin Sexton gets past Virginia Tech and plays against Brunson in the second round in Villanova, and just to watch Colin Sexton go against you know, Villanova's talented and experienced good backcourt. So with Booth and DiVincenzo and Brunson, you know, on the bottom half, I'm actually not as high on Purdue. I think Texas Tech is the team to beat on the bottom side. I would say I would have picked UCLA to win a couple games. I think they're playing really well. Aaron Holiday is a ridiculously good point guard, and if they weren't coming off of four games last week and then playing tonight in Dayton and then having to travel and play again on Thursday, I think they could make a run. I will say one of the things about this bracket is they have really good point guard play. Justin Robinson, I didn't really talk about, and Edwards at Purdue. There's some really talented point guards in this bracket.
Yeah, definitely a lot of point guards, and definitely I think some potential upsets in this bracket. I could see potentially Butler. They're going to be in for a tough battle against Arkansas, but I could see them, or either really the winner of that game, potentially beating Purdue. And then I could see the winner of the Florida and then either the St. Bonaventure, UCLA, whoever wins that matchup, I could see them beating Texas Tech. And then a team I like at 13, I just hate who they're matched up with, is Marshall. They were the only team to beat Middle Tennessee State in the regular season, and they beat them twice. And unfortunately, they're matched up with Wichita State, which was supposed to be one of the top teams in the country, has a great coach, and usually does very well in tournament play. But I think they have one of the more intriguing players in John Elmore. And this is a guy that Sports Illustrated did a pretty long feature article that I remember Dan sent me a while back. And he's a 6'3 guard, but he's putting up ridiculous numbers, 23 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. So I'm really looking forward to see what he can do against that Wichita State defense. But to kind of echo your guys' thoughts, I have Villanova as well. But I think the first round could be pretty intriguing with definitely some upsets in this one, and perhaps a Colin Sexton versus Jalen Brunson matchup in Pittsburgh in round two. So kind of moving on to the final bracket, going out to the Midwest. And once again, we have Kansas as a one seed in the Midwest, which I feel like that happens pretty much every year now. And to me, I feel they have a pretty easy shot to get to the Sweet 16. And then really the bottom half of the bracket, that's, you know, it's going to be a dogfight to get out of that, with Duke as a 2 seed, Michigan State as a 3 seed, and then some, I'd say, potentially strong lower seeds that will be playing them, both those teams early on. So who do you guys have coming out of the Midwest in Omaha? I'll start with Steve on this one.
So I've got Michigan State coming out of this, out of the Midwest. I agree with you that I think Kansas has a, they have a fairly easy path, and, you know, I think their second round matchup, if they are able to play Seton Hall, I think could give them a little bit of trouble. If Seton Hall is, if we get the Seton Hall that has Angel Delgado getting double doubles and Desi Rodriguez being the point guard he should be, but I see Kansas still getting through there. Obviously, I would love to see, I think that the Rhode Island and Oklahoma matchup is one that's going to be a really interesting first-round matchup. Just to see, although Oklahoma is another one of those schools that I'm not sure that they necessarily should have been in, but, you know, they do have Trae Young. So I think Trae Young going against Rhode Island's strong guard play is going to be something interesting to watch as well. But I like Michigan State coming out of this bracket. I've been a fan of Miles Bridges and the Jaren Jackson combo, and the team's got a little bit of depth. So I see Michigan State coming out and getting to the Final Four.
You see Michigan State getting revenge on Duke. I know, I think we had our first podcast together right after the tournament in Chicago, where it was the Duke-Michigan State game, and Grayson Allen just went off on Michigan State, and they didn't even play with Marvin Bagley, and really, right. you know, weren't challenged by Michigan State. But obviously, both teams have changed a lot since then.
No, I think that it's the I think the roles are going to change this time. So I've got Michigan State taking out Duke. My problem with Duke is that, you know, obviously now they have Bagley and they've got Wendell Carter, but you know, I still have issues with Grayson Allen on knowing whether you're going to get the Grayson Allen who's going to pop off and do what he did against Michigan State, or you're going to get the immature Grayson Allen who is going to take some bad shots, force it a little bit. So it's an interesting matchup for sure. But I don't trust Duke just yet. So I'm going with Michigan State.
Okay. What about you, Dan? I know you got to see Kansas in person and you weren't a big fan of them back in, I think it was January. So do you see them making it to the Final Four this year after coming pretty close last year?
I don't. I also think that their second round game could be tough for them. I think Azubuike will be back, but if not, I could see Angel Delgado having a monster game against Mitch Lightfoot. I think they'll get by that, but I think the winner of Michigan State or Duke is going to the Final Four, and for me, it's Duke. I guess I don't really see the appeal of Michigan State. I mean, they were highly ranked, I guess, have some good wins out of conference, but they play in, I think, what you deemed an underwhelming conference, Sean, earlier, the Big Ten, and they continually won games against lesser teams by 3-5 points. I don't see how they are going to beat Duke with Marvin Bagley when they couldn't beat Duke without Marvin Bagley. And that was the Duke team that struggled to play defense. You know, since they've gone to that 2-3 and kind of gotten better, they've been a you know, top 20 defensive team. So I have Duke beating Michigan State and then beating Kansas to get to the Final Four.
That would be quite the run for them of having to beat Michigan State and potentially Kansas and then potentially Villanova. But as we know in March Madness, whatever we're thinking could happen in 2 weeks could implode. And you know, perhaps Duke has an easy walk or Kansas makes it back to the Final Four. But to kind of wrap things up, I want to get both of your championship game selections. But before that, I'm going to go to Steve. If you had to pick who is going to be the biggest upset in the first round, what is going to be the highest seed that gets a game on Thursday or Friday?
Okay, so I, you know, every year this is always the tough question, but I actually really think, so I think that Miami and Loyola Chicago, that's a pretty popular one. I wouldn't say that's a gigantic pick to take. I do think that I do think that Tennessee could actually lose to Wright State. Wright State's not a terrible team there. And I know that since Tennessee has a ton of length, and they got to the SEC finals, but I think that could happen. I think the Clemson and New Mexico State is one where Clemson is a good team. They've played well together, but I think New Mexico State can pull that one off as well. Clemson without Dante Grantham is also a little bit of an issue. So I think if they had Grantham, I think Clemson actually could be a team that could have made some noise for Brad Brownell. So I guess with all these, with my three picks I made right there, I'm going to go with Clemson, New Mexico State.
You're going to 5-12. So you don't have any 13, 14 or 15 seeds pulling that big upset this year?
I don't think so.
We shall see over the next few weeks, next few days. And then I'll go with Dan. I think Arizona as the highest seed and getting to the Final Four, which is a 4 seed, more so because of the DeAndre Hunter injury. And the last 2 years, we've seen a 7 seed in Syracuse, 7 seed in South Carolina go last year, and then a 10 seed in Syracuse go to the Final Four a year before. So if you were to pick one team seeded 7 or below to get to the Final Four, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. Right off the bat, I think I got to go Texas A&M. They obviously underachieved a lot this year, but they're, the to me, the most talented team, ranked 7 or lower. And their path is obviously not great, but I think they can, if they start playing well, they'd be my pick. The other one, the other team, honestly, that I would consider would be UCLA. I don't think their bottom half of that East bracket is particularly tough, and with Aaron Holiday, I think that they could make a run if they can get by St. Bonaventure's tonight. So I'll say that, and then they probably won't even be playing on Thursday.
Yeah, no, that you know, they could easily lose tonight because St. Bonaventure is pretty talented. But if they do win, as you said, Aaron Holiday has been playing like one of the best guards, and he's been putting up just ridiculous stats. So I could see them making a run. I would have to say, I really like. I mean, there's Bucknell, who's pretty good, but they're going up against a tough Michigan State team. And then I could see Charleston potentially pulling the upset over Auburn, a good old CAA team. I know they have a kind of a stud in Joe Cheeley, and I still am not sold on Auburn. But then I'm also interested to see how Nevada does. They got absolutely destroyed by San Diego State in their Midwest tournament. But they have a lot of they have the Martin brothers who transfer from NC State, and definitely some talented players. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Cincinnati is for real. They've been dominating, have a great defense, and some really good seniors and upperclassmen. So I'll be interested to see if Nevada can pull any upsets. But to kind of wrap things off, so you guys have given the Final Four. So, Steve, who do you have in your championship game, and who's your champion?
I've got Arizona versus Villanova, and I've got Villanova as my champion.
All right.
I'm excited for. I love Villanova's team. I think they've more than proved themselves. I think Jay Wright's built a system there. I think that people kind of forget about Mikal Bridges and about how good that guy is. In addition to him and Brunson, so I like Villanova. I think that I have Villanova taking out Michigan State. And I've got Arizona knocking off Michigan. And then if there's a potential Arizona and Villanova matchup, I just see Villanova taking it.
What about you, Dan?
Yeah, this is no fun. I have Arizona over Gonzaga and Villanova over Duke, and then Villanova over Arizona. So, just like Steve said, Villanova's got the experience, and they only go – 7 deep or so, but those 7 are really strong, and they shoot the ball from all 5 positions, and they play good team defense, and I just think they're by far the best team in the country.
Okay, well, I don't want to be the third person that goes Villanova, so I'm going to go with UVA still making it into the championship game. Now that I said that, they'll probably lose in the Sweet 16, but I'm going to go with Virginia versus Michigan State, and I know a Big Ten team hasn't won a championship since the early 2000s, I believe, but I'm going to go with Tom Izzo to get that monkey off his back as they take on Tony Bennett in the championship game. But that'll probably prove to be fully wrong, and neither team will probably get to the Final Four. So we'll have to check back in a few weeks. The game's kicking off on Thursday. I'd say the first weekend is my favorite time of the year, and I'm just hoping that we're witness to a lot of upsets and competitive games over the next few weeks. So I'd like to thank both of you guys for coming on and going through their picks and thoughts, and looking forward to chatting about the games over the next few weeks with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us on,
and enjoy Thursday, Friday.
And that wraps up another episode of the Sean Mo Hoops podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Good luck with your brackets, and hope everybody enjoys the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Talk to you guys next week.